first, for the last time in 2020, we're going to review some top stories in national politics. It is the week in Washington. And for the first time in months, we can talk about additional federal coronavirus relief legislation that passed both chambers of Congress and got the president's signature. Except the president waited to sign it before finally relenting. And in the meantime, people depending on federal enhanced unemployment benefits saw those lapse after Christmas. The future of direct payments to Americans is still in flux, and we'll dive into all of those details along with a few other threads that we're watching. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the situation and the tension between Congress and the president? What do you want to see your elected leaders do for people right now? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Mark Fisher is a Washington Post senior editor. He's also author of the book Trump Revealed, the Definitive Biography of the 45th President. Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be with you.
Let's start with that coronavirus relief package. Things are actively happening right now. It's been months and months in the making. Finally made it through both chambers at the end of last week. What did it take to get things over the finish line?
Well, it took a certain amount of, it's kind of a dirty word in Washington, but bipartisanship and compromise, another dirty word. In a way, it was a hopeful sign about Joe Biden's vision of the coming year, in which he believes that there is some room for the parties to come together around really dire national crises, such as the coronavirus. So it took, after quite some negotiation, a lot of effort by bunch of moderate Republicans and Democrats, and they came up with this plan for $600 stimulus checks to most Americans. But then the president did his switcheroo, and the result is a bit of chaos in the final hours and days of this year.
Chaos to the point that, like, the president suggested it should be $2,000, and so House members got on board with that and passed it, and now the Senate Democrats are pushing for it, but the majority leader is blocking it. I mean, there's a lot going on Capitol Hill.
It is a very strange sight. You have, on the one hand, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, Republican, who vehemently opposed even $600 checks for unemployment benefits just a few months ago. Now he is suddenly a big advocate for $2,000 stimulus checks after he'd made a brief stop along the way to attack Joe Biden as a big spender and demand that the budgets all be cut in the coming year. So there's this whipsaw action going on among many Republicans in the Georgia Senate races that are coming up next week. Both of the Republican senators, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, have done a similar kind of whiplash where they were for the $600 checks. Now they're for the $2,000 checks after they attacked the Democrats as socialists for pushing for the $2,000 checks. So what we're seeing here is yet again Republicans struggling to show their loyalty to Donald Trump, even in his waning days in office, even as they are also trying to satisfy or serve their constituents who are struggling to make ends meet, who have either lost work or are on the edge of eviction. It's a really strange coalition we're seeing between Democrats in the House and now President Trump banding together and making life difficult for Republicans in Congress.
Let's hear from Senate Minority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer speaking on the chamber's floor yesterday about what he and the party see as the importance of this larger check.
The fastest way to get money into Americans' pockets is to send some of their tax dollars right back from where they came. $2,000 stimulus checks could mean the difference between American families having groceries for a few extra weeks or going hungry. The difference between paying the rent or being kicked out of your home that you've lived in for years. It could buy precious time for tens of millions of people as the vaccine, thankfully, makes its way across the country.
Now, I hear Schumer there saying the fastest way to make a difference right now is to get these $2,000 checks to people. But when it comes to speed, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there's no realistic path to quickly passing that $2,000 check in the Senate. A lot of discussion about timing here.
Yes, and Mitch McConnell is exactly right that there really is no way to get to where the president wants to go, given the situation that we have now. So on the one hand, you have the Democratic House will not buy the idea that the president put forward, which was to put the $2,000 stimulus checks together with two of his other favorite causes, an investigation into so-called election fraud and the idea of changing the laws regulating social media tech companies to make them responsible for the content on social media. The Democratic House, there's no way they'll go for that. The Republican Senate, on the other hand, won't buy just a clean, hey, here's $2,000 checks for everyone kind of move. The resulting stalemate, as McConnell points out, means that nothing will happen. And, well, nothing will happen means that what the president did the other night when he signed the bill that he'd called a disaster means that people will get those $600 checks and everything else, all the other issues, will be kicked down the road to Joe Biden's presidency starting next month.
We're talking with Mark Fisher, who's a Washington Post senior editor, also the author of the book Trump Revealed, the definitive biography of the 45th president. We're taking your calls on the week in Washington at 800-642-1234. What do you think is the right amount for direct payments that Americans should receive? Do you think that members of Congress should be moving as fast as they can to get that to people? Or do you see different ways for coronavirus relief? What do you expect of your elected politicians? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or use the email address. It's ideas@WPR.org. Do want to hear from Senate Minority Leader or Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell here. He was speaking on the floor of the Senate yesterday, and he describes kind of what you just did about these three elements that he says are linked together at the request of the president.
And the third subject, since every American, regardless of their politics, should feel the integrity of our democracy is beyond reproach, is exploring further ways to protect the sanctity of America's ballots while continuing to respect the federal government's limited role in standing behind state and local government who actually run elections. Those are the three important subjects the president has linked together. This week, the Senate will begin a process to bring these three priorities into focus.
Mark, do we know why, with President Trump on his way out, Mitch McConnell is sitting here saying we need to respect the fact that the president's linked these together and we're going to work on them together?
It's just a tool. It's just a tactic for delaying this. All McConnell has to do is delay this a few days, and then this Congress is over. The Constitution decrees that this Congress ends, and the new Congress begins. And when the new Congress begins next week, all the legislation that this Congress has been talking about disappears, and everything starts all over again. So he's simply making it impossible for changes to be made. And we have to go back to Trump's signing statement when he signed onto the $600 stimulus checks earlier this week. That signing is the bottom line. Everything that's happened since then is really a kind of a bunch of noise. There's a kind of dance of like a year-end festival of cynicism that we're seeing here, with the Democrats sort of gleefully glomming on to Trump's proposal for $2,000 checks, even though they've never wanted to join hands with him on anything before. And the Republicans are torn between their sort of small government roots. So you have some Republicans saying, hey, we have to stop this big spending, even after they spent the last 4 years raising the national debt by a record 50%. And then other Republicans who are so driven by their loyalty to Trump and so fearful that he will gin up primary opponents against them that they'll go along with him even in this quixotic and cynical last-minute endeavor.
We hear some additional criticism of this idea of, you know, linking these together and not having a separate $2,000 stimulus check vote. And people say, you know, we need to focus on this. It needs to be clean. And yet in the major coronavirus relief legislation, I mean, it's anything, but there are lots of other things in that piece of legislation. What else did Congress vote to approve?
Well, just about everything. I mean, this is more than 5,000 pages of legislation. And this is what happens when you have a Congress that has been so dysfunctional for so many years, both parties, and they've been unable to move forward on almost any kind of legislation. So when they reach these occasional deadlines where you have to act on a budget or else the government shuts down, their tendency is to just throw everything into that one giant piece of legislation, and because they know that it has to pass or else the government shuts down. So they toss everything in there, and most of what's in there was put there by the Trump administration. And so the president then comes out and says that he thinks the bill is a disaster and it has all kinds of horrible things in it. Well, he's the one who put many of them in there, including the foreign aid that he's been complaining about so much over the last week. So it is true that no Congress member could possibly have read all 5,500 pages of the bill before voting on it. Well, that's a fair criticism. On the other hand, that's how Congress has chosen to do business, because they're unwilling to come together and work more adroitly on individual pieces of legislation where they might have a more considered view of an issue.
We've got Tom in Oxford ready to join our conversation. Hey, Tom.
Good afternoon. Well, looks like you stole my thunder there. this whole issue, single issue voting, you know, that's what we need. We don't need these giant omnibus bills. And the whole idea that Congress can act in the way it does is not, I believe, what the founders intended. I think the system is so corrupt and far away from what, you know, kind of representation we need. It needs to be absolutely abolished and replaced. I mean, all of these people are in there for perpetuity. Look at this congressman who just passed away in Louisiana. Mm. He was being replaced by basically his office boy. Is that the kind of representative that those people in Louisiana really needed? Did anybody else even stand a chance of succeeding the congressman, you know, who retired?
Sure. And Tom, I want to jump in here because you bring up a couple of different points, and I want to make sure that Mark can respond to them. You know, Tom has some criticisms and is looking for single issue bills in Congress, wants to revamp the system. And we hear that sometimes from our audience, but when it comes to what's happening on Capitol Hill or in different pieces of the executive branch, there doesn't seem to be much of an appetite for changing the systems. Or am I reading that wrong?
Well, the system is not really the problem here. The problem is, you know, I hate to say it because I'm one of them. The problem is us. It's the voters. Mm-hmm. We send more and more extreme people to Congress because we're so frustrated with their inaction and dysfunction. And as we send more and more extreme people to Congress, they are less and less likely to cooperate and compromise with one another and get things done on those single issues that the caller's talking about. So this is Joe Biden's argument that won the presidency. So maybe there is an appetite for change. Biden's argument is, hey, we all need to make compromises. We all need to move toward the center. We all need to find practical solutions to really tough problems, whether that be immigration or the economy or the coronavirus. And so Biden feels empowered to move towards some kind of a discussion with his Republican opponents, and he thinks that he'll be able to get something done. There are many people, of course, who are very cynical about that and think that people are so polarized that they're going to, as Mitch McConnell said at the beginning of the Obama administration, he would do anything to make the president's term a failure. Well, you know, we've got a lot of failure around us this year, and there's a lot big hunger, I think, among Americans to see things get done. And the question is whether folks in Congress will be willing to do that.
We're talking with Mark Fisher, senior editor at The Washington Post. It's the week in Washington. We're talking about several national political stories, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about Congress closing in on overriding President Trump's veto of the defense authorization bill? How are you viewing the different parties in Washington in this moment? What do you think that they could do to change your life for the better? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We continue this conversation ahead on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Week in Washington, and our guest is Mark Fisher from The Washington Post. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What political stories are important to you as we close out 2020? What are you following closest? Maybe you have a question about what's happening in our nation's capital. We'll see if we can get the answer for you during this conversation. Call 800-642-1234. Hanging over all of this is this conversation about coronavirus relief is a national defense authorization measure. It happens annually. It always gets passed with bipartisan support, gets the president's signature, except this time it didn't. Trump vetoed it. What didn't he like?
Well, the president was looking for a way to make a bit of a splash on this question of he's railed for years against what he calls the endless wars. It's actually an issue on which he and Barack Obama saw very much eye to eye, the idea that they wanted to end the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The president has felt very frustrated by the fact that he's been unable to pull all the troops out of those countries. And so this was a way of lashing out about that, in addition to which he's here again, he's latched the issue of social media onto his objections to the military spending bill, trying to push back against social media companies that he believes have been biased against him. And so he wanted to attach some legal changes, some additional regulation of social media tech companies through this mechanism. But basically, this was the president once again lashing out at the way Washington works. And what he ran up against is a Congress that doesn't do a lot of things very well anymore, but does manage to get the military budget passed every year because they see that as vital to national security and because they know that the military is one of the few remaining highly popular institutions in the country.
I mean, it looks like Congress is in a position to override Trump's veto. That would be a significant move, right?
Well, it would be the very first time that this president has had a veto over turned. And that is something that happens to all presidents a few times in their administration. So actually, Trump has gotten by, and it's an indication of just how loyal Republicans have been to him that they haven't overridden any of his vetoes before. But this time, there were very large majorities in both the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans coming together to push back against this president. And we've seen more of that from Republicans in recent weeks, in the waning weeks of the Trump administration. More Republicans are stepping out and pushing back against the president in some ways, even as they try to stay loyal enough to him that he doesn't lash out at them on Twitter.
Mark Fisher is a Washington Post senior editor, and we're talking with him on The Week in Washington, also taking your calls. And Charlie from Milwaukee is ready to speak with us. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. I just want to reiterate somewhat of what your guest had said, and what his comment would be is that I'm continuing to hear people talk about not supporting this president because they feel that the election was stolen. And I can think of one of the two greatest days that this country ever had was the first was when George Washington resigned his commission to Congress and gave up being a dictator, and the second being John Adams giving up the presidency to Tom Jefferson after he lost an election. We're a country of elections and people, you know, not be trying to be dictators or, you know, demagogues. And I'm just concerned that there's people, whether they like the result of an election or not, are going to cause havoc. And we need to unite as a country around our elected representatives, whether we voted for them or not.
Yeah, Charlie, thanks for bringing that up, because looking ahead to next week, we've got the formal step in the 2020 election process where the Electoral College votes are counted in a joint session of Congress. And we've heard for the first time that Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri is planning to formally object to certifying those results. Help put this into context for us, Mark.
Sure. Your caller is exactly right, of course, that the peaceful transfer of power is kind of the heart of any democracy, and particularly ours. Donald Trump does not want to be the dictator, but Donald Trump has a deep psychological aversion to losing or being perceived as a loser, and we are seeing that at play now. The surprise, if there is one, is that we see senators like Josh Hawley coming to help the president with this failed effort to overturn the results of the election. The results cannot be overturned legally. The president either doesn't understand that or doesn't want to accept it. And the fact is that what Hawley will do is he will create a 12-hour delay, a bit of a show on Capitol Hill, because the election law provides that if a senator and a member of the House object to the way the vote was counted in particular states, they can say, okay, we need to have a debate about that in Congress. And so there will be a 2-hour debate about each of the states that they object to the count in. And there are six of those, so we'll have a 12-hour debate on the Hill, and then they will vote to confirm Joe Biden's election. How do we know that? Because the House is controlled by Democrats, and they will vote to approve the vote on behalf of Biden. And although the Senate is controlled by Republicans, there's a handful of Republicans who will vote for the rule of law and who will join with Democrats. And so they, too, will vote to support the actual results of the election. And that will be the end of this latest gambit on the part of the president trying to avoid the tag of loser.
We also found out a member of Congress, Congressman-elect Luke Letlow from Louisiana, died of COVID-19 yesterday. He was 41 years old, first lawmaker to die from the disease, not the first to come down with it, of course. Do you have any sense of whether his death is affecting messages in Congress about the situation in this pandemic?
Well, we're seeing more and more support even from the biggest coronavirus skeptics in Congress on the Republican side, more and more support for the vaccine, more and more encouragement for people to get vaccinated when that opportunity comes along. But of course, there still remains an anti-vaccine contingent in the country, and how successful the government is at persuading those people to join in with their fellow Americans is going to determine how quickly we get any control over this virus. Mm-hmm. And so in Congress, has the tone changed? Yes, somewhat. And I think as the Trump administration ends, we'll hear less and less of this sort of official doubt of medicine and science. And at least Biden's hope is that we'll be able to return to a policy and practice guided by science.
Mark, thank you so much for being with us. Mark Fisher is a Washington Post senior editor and joined us for The Week in Washington.